And today, what I want to do is to keep going with this idea of Jesus giving us peace as a function, a result of the resurrection. And as I was looking at the scriptures today, particularly the gospel reading, I was reminded of the experience that I had just this past January at the Trinity School for Ministry Songwriters workshop, which I went to for a few days. And the overall experience was very, very encouraging. The whole atmosphere was encouraging, no matter what level of songwriter you were at. If you'd never written any songs, or if you'd written a lot of songs, it didn't matter. There was a lot of encouragement to just try and do the best you can do. And at the same time, there was still a challenge, and the challenge to keep growing as a songwriter. So things would be offered to you which might seem to be a difficult criticism, but it was still offered in such a atmosphere of encouragement that it really helped you to go ahead and do your best and try again and try something maybe you've never had before. And this session that I had these few days, the group formed a Facebook group, which continues on even to this day. And there's such an ongoing flow of creativity out of that group. I just can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with what's going on or keeping up with everybody's contribution or what I can participate in. But I am continually encouraged to keep growing and keep trying. And the key for all of that was setting up the open atmosphere to keep receiving encouragement and to keep trying. Now that's a bit of how Jesus works with us, although the way he does it is far beyond the experience that I had there. And maybe you've had experiences in other kinds of get-togethers and groups where you've had the same thing. And it's really a bit of the opposite of what a lot of people think Jesus is trying to do with us. Many people think that Jesus is something of a taskmaster who will not let you advance or have answered prayers unless you get it right, whatever right is. And in each case, it's probably different what you think right is. So people will think, I need to reach the standard or this way of doing things, and then Jesus will open up what he has for me, at least some. And for many of us, that feeling can be triggered or even magnified when we move into a new season of life or to a new community. We can wonder if we're doing the right thing. And many of us may have felt that approaching retirement or a career change. You know, are we going about this correctly and properly? I've never done this before. I don't know what to do. What's the right thing to do? Or if we can wonder if we're doing the right thing to meet neighbors if we move into a new place. And all of us have felt that at one time or another in our lives. You know, what kind of place is this? There's things about this place I've never experienced or seen before. What's the right thing to do? A change in any situation is naturally going to bring the sense that I must figure out the right thing to do in order to be all right. And none of that is true with Jesus. As natural as it is to feel that in any situation, with Jesus, it is not the case at all. He never introduces anything like that. And we can see that in the second appearance to the apostles, and especially with his acceptance of Thomas. And the verse that stands out here, the saying of Jesus that stands out here in the middle of this is, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And I believe in our translation today, it says, do not doubt, but believe. And a lot of us, when we think of this instance with Thomas, we think of Jesus saying, now don't doubt, believe. You've got to stop doubting, and you know, just put that aside and believe. And so, you know, he gets the name Doubting Thomas. But I think the translation that is more accurate to what Jesus is saying is, don't be unbelieving, but believing. It's not helpful to think that doubt is the opposite of believing, because doubt is, it's not the opposite of faith. It's not the opposite of believing. Distrust is the opposite of believing. And some of you have heard me use this illustration of the chair. And it's been a few years since I used it, so some of you haven't heard of it. And right now, in fact, let me, because I can do this, let me just help you out a little bit. Here's the chair that I'm sitting in. See it right there. And I'm putting it right down here. And I believe right now, as I'm standing here, that that chair is right there. It exists. It's where it was before. It's where it usually is. And no one can talk me out of that. I sincerely believe this chair is right here in front of my very eyes. But all that believing doesn't give me any benefit at all, because I'm still standing here and the chair is right there. I even believe, I go further in my belief about this chair, that if I were to sit in it, it would hold me up. There's no doubt in my mind. I can put my entire weight on this chair and it will hold me up. But all of that believing brings me no benefit, because I'm standing here and the chair is right there. It's not till I take my trust and put it on that belief that I'm actually following or believing Jesus. So what I do is I take my trust and I sit on the chair, and I am believing in the sense that Jesus is talking about. Thomas was brought into the full trust of Jesus, and it was Jesus who brought him into that trust. It's not something that Thomas worked on by himself. He didn't get a crash course in human development so that he could trust. Jesus gave him the capacity to trust. And the stage that Jesus set, what was first set by what he often does, is he goes into the room with them again, just as he did the week before. You know, this is the week after the resurrection. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." So he created that peace that sets the stage for the apostles to receive what Jesus is going to give to them. Now remember, Jesus creates by speaking. He just says, you know, back in creation, "Let there be so-and-so, and there was. Let there be light, there was light." Here he says, "Peace be with you." And that peace is created in that room. It's the atmosphere. He creates that wellness and that fullness, and that's what empowers them to receive more from Jesus. For Thomas, that was going to now be walking on the solid foundation of belief that he had not been walking on before. And that was where his trust was now completely on Jesus. And that's what we see in his response. He says, "My Lord and my God." It says he worshiped Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." Now, God is what you call Jesus, as the one who brings the covenant. That's trusting that God will provide everything to you that's necessary to follow Jesus. That's what a covenant is. God provides everything to you for the relationship that you have with Jesus. He starts it, he provides for it, he sustains it, and he brings it to the place that he wants it to be. All of that comes from God. And then he calls Jesus Lord, "My Lord and my God." Now, Lord is what you call somebody who you follow specifically what they say. So Thomas here has come to the place that day where he is trusting that Jesus is going to provide everything that he needs, and then will also then be able to take the steps of following because of what Jesus has provided. See, none of this, as I've been pointing out, is what Thomas manufactures or disciplines himself for on his own. It's all receiving from Jesus and responding to Jesus. And belief is following what Jesus specifically directs. Remember, it's trust. Jesus says, do this. Jesus prompts me to do this. So that's what I do. It's hearing what God is getting across to you and taking the steps God calls for us to do. When Jesus said, do not be unbelieving, but believing, he was creating in Thomas that capacity to follow what Jesus specifically directs. And not only did he not need Thomas to discipline himself to do this, he didn't need for Thomas even to have the correct answer. He first, before anything else, gave Thomas the capacity and the power to respond to Jesus. And Thomas went on from there. You know, later, he stayed in Jerusalem and was in the first wave of the church and the Acts of the Apostles. And from there, he went on to India. The tradition has it, where he planted a lot of churches and oversaw them. And that those churches are still alive today. That's the Maritoma Church, which is mostly in northern India today. Now, a lot of this means something to us, as you could imagine. And it means, I think, specifically this to us at St. Francis. We love to give a joyful welcome to people at St. Francis, and it is genuine and it is open. You know, we just don't have a phrase on our bulletin, we're the friendly church, and let it go at that. There is a very joyful, open welcome to people who come, as well as to each other. And I believe that's because we continue to grow in the knowledge that Jesus himself is our peace. And we can experience that with each other. We see that in each other. It increases within us through each other. And what that means is, I think we are at a point where we can go beyond the hope that our church will have more people to the point where we can see how God welcomes anyone and everyone and is in fact doing that right now all around the world. Everywhere we go, God is welcoming people as he is with Thomas, as he did with Thomas today in the Gospels. And we, because we have seen what it is to have that joyful welcome and to extend it, we can join in with that welcome because we know that Jesus himself is our peace, and he's created that within us. We will be growing in that peace that God has given us at St. Francis as we continue to grow and believe and trust in Jesus. As we continue to hear what Jesus is communicating to us, and then take the steps that he asks us to take, we recognize him more and more and experience him more and more as our peace. And that means we have a peace to extend to other people. And not only when they show up on Zoom or Sunday morning, but anywhere and everywhere we are, that peace can be extended. And in fact, we can see the peace that God is offering to other people around us anywhere and everywhere we are. We in fact become what we pray that we would become every week, that we would be instruments of his peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. So what's our first step for that, for each of us? It is to hear the voice of Jesus say to us in some way, peace be with you. You know, if you're anxious about staying at home or what's going to happen or how things are going to play out in the months and years to come, or who knows what from the situation that we're in or other things, and you go to Jesus about it, the first thing Jesus will say to us in one way or another is, peace be with you. That comes directly from his resurrection, and it is the first thing he supplies to us as we seek him out. And then we begin to see in our lives, because he will always give us that ability, that he is always our peace. It is always him who is our peace, and not really our ability to assess what's going on, think think we have the right path of what's happening, get our goals squared away. All of that helps. But he himself always is our peace. Then as we receive that, we follow the steps of belief into blessing the lives of others, into seeing God at work in our lives, just as he did with Thomas, just as he did with the 12, and as we've seen all throughout church history and in our own lives today. But as always, he himself being our peace, communicating that to us, and then us taking the steps that come from that experience, that encounter with him. Now, if you wonder or doubt like Thomas did, as it were, unbelieve as Thomas did, or complain about not understanding how to follow Jesus, I really want you to remember, he is not out to get you because of that. He's not out to correct you because of that. He's not out to do anything except to say, peace be with you. And create the capacity within you through that peace to receive what he has for you, so that you can make the steps of what it is to follow Jesus. So my question to you this morning, how is Jesus saying, peace be with you right now to you? Right at this moment. And then, how do you respond? I suggest something like the way Thomas responded, asking God for that capacity. Will you call him my Lord? I will follow in the steps you have for me, and my God, I will receive the power from you to do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continually, within our hearts and in our souls and in the depths of our lives, increase the ability to hear you say to us, peace be with you. And that you would increase within us all the more our capacity as instruments of your peace. And that you would send us and be with us as we go into the steps that you desire for us to go. And we ask this today for the glory of your name. Amen.